We're up to Torah Nun Dalet in Likutei Moran Tanina. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 64. The left-hand column, the inside column, towards the bottom of the page, the last paragraph on the page. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss the subject of Bechira, free choice, which we mentioned many, many times, that based on the Sifrei Kabbalah and all the Sforim that talk about life in any type of depth, this is the underlying theme in terms of our existence in this world. It boils down to one word, Bechira, free choice, that Hashem wanted to create a certain unit of people, Bnei Israel, who would be put into a predicament where they would be at liberty to either do what's in conformity with the will of Hashem or go against the will of Hashem. And in selecting, making the right choice, this is something that gives Hashem tremendous, tremendous satisfaction. When a person who's at liberty to conform with the will of Hashem or to go against the will of Hashem, and he goes ahead and conforms the will of Hashem, and he overcomes his evil inclination, his Yetzirah, etc., and he swings his Bechira in the direction of good, what Hashem considers good, that's something that gives Hashem tremendous nachas. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal says, HaBechira biyad ha'odom la'asayis kiritzaynoi. The free choice is completely within a person's control to do as he wants. Va'afilu kol hadvorim. And even everything that's taking place in this world, all the activities that occur to a person or with a person, HaKoel biyad ho'ish ha'yisraeli lehisnaig HaKoel kiritzaynoi kibichirosoi. Everything is completely within the person's control to conduct himself in every manner the way he wants according to his free choice. In other words, in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal wants to establish a yesod, a foundation in our faith in Hashem and in our serving of Hashem, that you should be aware that to give excuses, to make excuses, well, I wasn't able to, I couldn't, I tried, all of that kind of stuff, Rabbeinu Zal is saying pretty loud and clear here that you should know that a Jew is given tremendous latitude and tremendous power to determine his destiny, to determine his fate, and to actually be in control of exactly what's going to happen to him, etc. In all kinds of different situations. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki biyad Yisrael yesh bechira biyodam al kol dovar sheba'olam. Because when it comes to Yidden, Jews specifically, it is within their control and within their power to determine what goes on related to everything in the world. Ki eitzel acherim, because when we're discussing others, people that aren't members of Klal Yisrael, people from outside nations, yesh dvorim shehem muchrochim bohem. There are certain situations where they are compelled to do a certain item, even in a sense where they don't want to. Although even in this, there's a lot to say. For example, we have in last week's parsha and in all the parshias of the Torah that we're learning now, in the beginning of Chumash Shemois, where the Torah says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'chizakti eslev paroi. I'm going to force paroi to be stubborn, and he's going to do this and this and this, and then I'll fix his wagon still further. All of these manifestations, where it seems to sort of show that Hashem sort of took it out of paroi's hands, Hashem forced him to act a certain way in conformity with the plan that Hashem established. Although, in fact, there's no way we can say that Hashem took away his Bechira completely, because this is based on a concept of Bederech Shodam Reitzel Leilech Melich Nesai. Once Paroi established himself in Hashem's eyes as a total Rosha Marusha, as a super evil person who definitely was interested in doing all types of harm to the Jews that he possibly could, once that was established completely as fact, then Hashem played with him and stretched it a little bit further and took some of the Bechira out of his hands, in a sense, and forced him like a puppet to act a certain way. That's when it comes to other nations of the world. Aval Eitzel Isha Yisraeli, but when it comes to a Yid, a member of Klal Yisrael, Kol dovor v'dovor shehu oiseh, each and every single activity that a Jew performs, kigoin, for example, linsoya la'ezeh mokoim, to travel to a certain place, ukiyotze, or any type of activity whatsoever, yesh boi avoida, there is a service to Hashem involved in each and every single movement that a Jew makes. A Jew lifts his hands, he blinks his eyes, he eats, he sleeps, he walks, he talks, he goes across the street. Every single move that a Jew is making, the tiniest move, can involve serving Hashem, depending on whether it's done properly or improperly, with the right kavana, b'chol derochecho da'ehu, this concept of serving Hashem with every move you make. Because of the fact that every single move you make could involve serving Hashem, therefore, the alkein yeshloi bechira al hakoil. Therefore, as a logical conclusion of that, Hashem gives the person free choice in each and every single activity that a person is going to do, whether to do it or not, or how much to do it, etc. In other words, when it comes to a goy lahavdil, where every single move he makes is not necessarily that significant, it could, in a sense, be totally irrelated to Hashem to a degree. Therefore, Hashem doesn't have to have bechira, free choice, in every move the goy is making. Hashem can eliminate the bechira in some cases, the free choice, and force the goy to act in a certain way, force him to go to a certain place, or to do a certain thing, in conformity with Hashem's plans for the Jewish nation. Whereas when it comes to the Jews, Rabbi Nizal points out here, because of the fact that each and every single minute move and activity that a Jew performs can involve serving Hashem, and we know that in order for a human being to serve Hashem, in order for it to be classified as serving Hashem, it must be where the person is functioning in a mode where he has free choice to do it or not to do it. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal says you should know, in any move that a Jew is going to make whatsoever, this free choice will always be there. He's always at liberty to do it or not to do it, to turn it into an act of serving Hashem, or to turn it into an act of going against Hashem. And this again alerts the person to beware. Beware that because of the fact that you're a member of the Jewish nation, every single move you make is significant for yourself, for the whole Jewish nation, and at the same time, you should know you're not going to have any excuse that I was forced, it was circumstances beyond my control. That terminology usually does not exist by a Jew. There's no such thing as circumstances beyond your control. You are in control of the situation, and it's your free choice that'll determine whether you go to this place of evil or you don't go, whether you say this bad thing or you don't, whether you set yourself up for this type of mess or not, etc. Baruch Hashem.
Related to this, like when a person wakes up in the morning, they also said they're supposed to put themselves completely into Hashem's control.
Right.
Guessing him to guide them, and they have no more worries.
Right.
And also, another place where it says that sometimes the choice is like temporarily taken away in order to test the choice later.
Okay, on both of these items that you just mentioned, if you while I was saying this, you saw I said just about always, meaning, for starters, this question that everybody asks on Rabbi Nizal specifically, on the teachings of Breslov, which advocates so strongly constantly asking Hashem to help you be religious and everything, doesn't that seem to be contradictory to the fact that the Gemara makes a statement, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, that everything is in Hashem's control except fear of Hashem, meaning that when it comes to a Jew having fear of Hashem or lacking fear of Hashem, that's something that Hashem puts completely into your hands. You have complete free choice. In other words, sort of seeming to imply that that's not in Hashem's hands. There Hashem puts the ball completely in your hands. And Rav Nosson Zal writes very, very, very emphatically in Likutei Halachos, quoting the Marsha and other Meforshim, who state again very emphatically that what's the Bechira? In this situation, what's the free choice? The free choice that you have is whether to solicit the help of Hashem or not to. Would it be silly enough, dumb enough, to think you're capable of going up against an angel one-on-one in hand-to-hand combat, and you're going to fight him. You're going to beat him, possibly, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So in these situations, that's the free choice. When a person gets up in the morning, and before he's about to do anything whatsoever, he says, Hashem, before I make any of my own mistakes, the first thing I want to declare is that I'm giving myself over completely into your hands. Every thought, statement, and action of mine, I'm hereby declaring that I'm making myself, in a sense, irresponsible. I'm placing the burden of responsibility on you to direct my thoughts, my every speech, and every action of mine, to see to it that I go in the direction that you would want me to go in. And thereby, once a person does that, Rabbi Nizal says, to a large extent, the person frees himself from this responsibility, because Hashem will actually, if the person is saying this with sincerity, Hashem will actually help him and force him in the right direction. The answer is, that was your free choice. Your free choice was to make the decision to opt to ask for Hashem's help, or not to. And once you pick the right choice in doing that, it's still within the scope of Bechira. You understand? No problem. That's point number one. The second point that you made is that there are certain very limited exceptions to this rule, which, again, Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos, that there are certain situations where Hashem wants to see how a person is going to handle a fall. Just as lahavdil ben kodesh l'chol, you have teachers who are teaching classes of self-defense, karate, this type of thing, and they're teaching a student how to defend himself in certain combat situations. And then, one time in the practice of something like that, the teacher takes a shot at the student, where the student, there's no way, based on the knowledge that he has at this point in time, he can defend himself. Why is the teacher doing it? Part of toughening up the student and teaching him how to survive in this type of atmosphere is to be able to handle a fall, to be able to be put into a situation where it's over your head, it's out of your hands to defend yourself, you get knocked down, then what? What do? You just lay there like a yo-yo? Or you look up at the teacher and complain, you didn't teach us how to do this? Or you assume, this isn't the baby class, this is for adults, mature people. If he did that to you, possibly the reason that he's doing it is to see what's your instant reaction. You fell, now what? Be alert, be prepared to handle yourself while you're down, and figure out how to get yourself up and back in a combat position as quickly as possible. So too, lahavdil by Hashem, it's the same thing. Rav Nosson Zal says, there are times where Hashem gives this satan, this angel, a free rein to give a person such a whopping blow that the guy gets knocked down. Like, there's no way in the world you can defend yourself against such a powerful punch from the satan, which Hashem gave him permission to give you. Where at that point in time, to accept that punch, it wasn't a fair fight. Like, the deck was stacked against you in favor of satan. And the only purpose is, Hashem wants to see what your reaction is going to be. You fell, now what happens? Do you give up? Do you walk away from the religion and say, forget it? You know, I'm being given tests that there's no way I can handle, so this is ridiculous. Or is the person sincere enough to say, Hashem is there and I'm over here? It's not as if I have a choice whether I want to come close or I want to walk away. That's meaning. It's the biggest joke in the world. You don't have a choice in the matter. It's either you come close to Hashem, otherwise you're a total yo. You know, period. You're just acting, you're self-destructive. You know, just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Therefore, those are very, very, very exceptional cases where for a short moment, the bechira is taken away, the free choice is taken away, and you're given a solid punch, and it's just for the purpose of seeing how you're going to bounce back from it. But the norm is very much the way we explained here.
Very quick, thanks. A person is honest, and so they think the bechira is the desire.
Excuse me?
When a person is like, there's an honest from the duress,
yes.
The bechira would be the desire.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think at the end result of everything we say was Hashem's will.
Most definitely. That as much as there is free choice, it's still within the choice that Hashem wants you to make, either way. Okay. Baruch Hashem, chapter 55, Torah Nun Hei. Rabbi Nizal says, there are people whose orientation mentally is, they're always looking to make deals. They're always looking for profit. always looking to buy merchandise, to invest in something that's going to bring them big dollars, this type of thing. Rabbi Nizal says, Lahavdol, you should know that Revach Ha'olam Hazeh Ein L'Shayah. The type of profit that a person can make in this world, in a spiritual sense, the earnings that a person could accumulate and acquire in this world, is infinite, Ein L'Shayah. There's no way to count it. Dahainu, meaning, Ma She'odom Yochoy Laharviach Bozeh Ha'olam. The extent that a person could succeed in this world and could acquire profit, could take in a windfall profit, an incredible amount of profit in this world, the ein tzorich al ze hoitzois misheloi, and it doesn't require putting up any money at all. Usually, generally, a person starts up a business. Depending on the nature of the business, there is money that you have to put up front, either in merchandise, in taking a store, whatever the situation is, it involves laying out some bucks, and you're assuming that the return is going to cover that, plus keep you going for a long period of time. Rabbi Nizal says, when it comes to ruchnius, it doesn't necessitate any outlay. What's any initial outlay whatsoever? Shekirin oislag. In Yiddish, it's called, you know, the word oislag, which means outlay. Rak mima shehechen lefon of habayri sporach. Just using the resources that Hashem Himself has placed, has prepared for the person, yochel laharchiv yodoi, a person could broaden his acquisitions, ulaharviach harbe ma'oid, and acquire an incredible amount of profit, ayin loiraso. This is the terminology that's used in the Pasuk in the Novi regarding to Olam Haba, that it's such an incredible beauty which no human eye could conceive of yet, what a person, what Olam Haba is made of, you know, what kind of stuff exists in this world to come. And Rabbi Nizal is implying here again, for those people who are oriented to balance sheets and to accounting and always looking to make bucks, always looking to make profit, this concept of profit, always looking to come out ahead, etc., you should know that when it comes to the spiritual world, a person is so fortunate. If a person wants to wheel and deal in Torah and mitzvahs, you have no idea the type of the profit margin that exists here. Where Rabbi Nizal says it involves investing zero of your own. There's nothing of your own to put in. Just using what Hashem has provided each and every person with, his mental powers and all the other resources that Hashem has blessed each and every one of us with, if you simply turn it on and use it for Torah and mitzvahs, none of us could possibly conceive the type of profit that a person is capable of generating on their own behalf. Just that a person shouldn't be an achzori. A person shouldn't have self-hate, a masochist. A person who doesn't care enough about himself to show concern and to apply himself in such a situation. In other words, you're being put in a situation, not a no-win, the opposite of a no-win situation, a no-loss. You can't possibly lose. You're investing zero and you're told the profit is infinity. That's what it is. Just go in this path of Torah and mitzvahs, doing the will of Hashem, as taught to us by Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other tzaddikim. None of us could possibly imagine how much a person could gain from it, how much actual gain could come from it. Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Nun Vav, chapter 56. Now, obviously, these small chapters that we see here were said by Rabbi Nizal at different times to students. In other words, these were not necessarily technical shiurim that he gave, a Shabbos shiur or something like that. These were statements of Torah that he mentioned to different students in passing, which were documented and written down and presented as part of the Likutei Moran. Torah Nun Vav, chapter 56, Rabbi Nizal says, Kishiyesh l'ho'odom leiv, if a person possesses a heart, ein shayach etzloi mokim klal. The term space doesn't apply to that. The term space or place doesn't apply to that person whatsoever. Meaning, the term place as a limiting factor, being in a certain place and being impeded by whatever problems exist with being in that place. or being contained within certain limited space. And again, I'm limited. I can't be in 10 places at the same time, or based on being in this place that I'm in this area that I'm in, my hands are tied to a certain extent. Rabbi Nazal says you should know that if a Jew, if a person possesses a heart, then the concept of mokaim doesn't apply to him at all whatsoever. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, let's first finish what it says here, then we'll go into Rav Nosson Zal's insight on this. Ki adarabba, because just the opposite, Rabbi Nazal says, hu mekaimoi shel oilam, this person becomes the superset of space, meaning, just as when we speak about Hashem, the Torah tells us that Hashem is not contained within space, space is contained within Hashem. Like, in other words, we picture the universe as being X big. You know, it's so big, and everything that exists has to exist within this domain called the universe. Kaviyochol, no matter what parameters you want to set, no matter what you want to talk about, the universe, the multi-universe, whatever name you want to give to everything, all of that is functioning within Hashem. That's all inside of Hashem. Hashem surrounds, is Mesavev Kol Almin, He surrounds everything, and everything is contained within Hashem. So that even the concept of space is something that exists inside of Hashem. Not that Hashem exists within space, but space exists within Hashem. So Rabbi Nazal says here, so too with any Jew who is zeichet to have a heart, we'll see soon what that means. Any Jew that's zeichet to have a heart, by him also, it's inconceivable to apply the term space to him, a limitation of space or a place, because that person becomes, in a sense, like Hashem, where he's not confined or constricted whatsoever by space. On the contrary, he's above the concept of space. Rabbi Nazal explains, ki ho elokus hi belev, because heavenliness exists within the heart of a person. The center within a human being of heavenliness is within the heart. Kemo shekosuv, as Dovid HaMelech writes in the Sefer Tehillim, Tzur Levavi, the Hashem who is part of my heart, who is found within my heart. V'eitzel Hashem Yisporach Nemar, and about Hashem it is written that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine Mokoim Iti. Space is with me, within me. Hashem said Mokoim is Iti. Space, in terms of area, is within me. Shehu Mekoimoi Sheloilam Vein Hoila Mekoimoi. The Gemara Darshins and Rashi Kodesh points out on that sentence that Hashem is the place of the world, and the world is not the place of Hashem. It's not as if Hashem is contained within the world is contained within Hashem. Nemtza, what do we see from this? That mi sheyeshloi lev Yisraeli, that a Jew who is zeichet to have a Jewish heart, meaning that he has Hashem inside his heart, just as the Pasuk says, v'osu li mikdosh v'shochanti b'seicham, Hashem says, you will erect for me a holy place, and I will rest not in it. It doesn't say in it, b'seicha. The Gemara says, b'seicha loy nemar. It says, b'seicham. I will rest among you. Hashem says, inside each and every one of you, if each and every one of you will prepare a place for me inside your heart, Hashem said, I will reside inside each and every single heart of a Jew, of the Jews. Therefore, a person who is zeichet to have this type of heart, where he has built this mishkan for Hashem inside of his heart, ein roi loy loymar shemokim ze ein toiv lefonov. Such a Jew, it's improper for him to say at any point in time, this place is no good for me. This apartment is no good for me. This neighborhood is no good for me. This train is no good for me. Any place that he's in, he should never say that this place is not good for me. I can't really serve Hashem in this place that I'm in now. Why? Ki ein shayach etzloi mokim klal. Because for such a person, the concept of space, of a limitation of space or location, place, doesn't apply to him whatsoever. Ki adarabba, because just the opposite. Who mekaymai shel oilam ve'ein ha'oilam mekaymai kanal. This person becomes the superset of the world. The whole world is contained. If he contains Hashem inside of himself, Hashem contains everything inside of himself. So automatically, this person becomes the domain of the world, and in no way in the world is he limited in any way, or restricted, or confined, or impeded in any way by being within a certain place. And here again, Rabbeinu Zal is establishing a very significant fact for us to be aware of in terms of serving Hashem, that 99% of people, 99% of situations that they're in, they'll always assume that because I'm here, because I'm in this situation, because I'm in this type of place, I can't learn that well, I can't daven that well, I can't be that religious, etc., etc. And Rabbeinu Zal here is pulling the plug on that. He's saying, no way, not possible. You should know that what a Jew is supposed to have is a Jewish heart. And a Jewish heart means a heart that contains elokus in it. It contains spiritualism, a heart that's filled with Torah and Tefillah. About Torah, it's written, Kosvam aluach libecha. Inscribe these words on the tablets of your heart. About Tefillah, it's written, Shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. Pour out your heart like water to Hashem. If a Jew sees to it to take this muscle, this heart, and exercise it properly, Baruchnius, where he places Hashem inside his heart the right way, such a Jew is going to see that he can actually elevate himself to such a level where place, the place that he's in, could have no bearing on him whatsoever. Now, this past Shabbos, we quoted a shir given by Rav Nachman Borstein that was documented in his Sefer Ulfan Chados, where he's writing about the greatness of Rav Nosson Zal. One of the things he mentions about Rav Nosson Zal is try to imagine the inconceivable level of greatness of a human being that this character, Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbeinu Zal's main student, was put into jail at one point in time in Russia. He had such enemies, people, rabbis, who were jealous of seeing this person advance to such an extent that they went out to battle against him to such an extent that they considered it permissible to go to the Goyim at the time and to Maser Rav Nosson Zal to say that he's preaching religion in Russia, and it really, really mess him up to the extent where they got him thrown into prison. Now, we're not talking about prison as it is today in New York or other places where you get a choice of color TV or black and white. You have a choice of vodka, bourbon, and which specific type you want, etc. Where they're discussing whether they should provide you with your own wife or on your own wife or other people's wives during your stay in prison just to make it more livable and bearable. We're talking about prison in Russia in the 1800s, where Rav Nosson Zal writes he was with murderers, cutthroats, the lowest element of society. Those were the ones in prison. It wasn't guys who were caught in tax fraud and other nonsense. This is the real criminals who today are out on the streets constantly. They never get thrown into prison. These are the guys that were in prison at that time. Rav Nosson Zal spent a few days with these characters, and there he wrote a section of Likutei Halachos, was written in prison, in the midst of this filth and sewage. He actually had all his sforim brought in his pen and paper, and he wrote some of the halachas in Likutei Halachos, specifically Hilchas Yayin Nesach, I believe it's Halacha Dalet or Hey, which is just incredible. Anybody that learns that, it is so deep and so profound and so beautiful. And he writes at the end of the halacha that this halacha, I was mechadesh in prison, this and this day, you know, etc., etc. Now you see, you hear something like that, you read that halacha, you know exactly what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here. That a Jew is capable of elevating himself to such an extent by bringing Hashem inside of himself, that this person supersedes, he just floats right above wherever he's at. There's no way that the place he's in can limit him in any way, can impede him in any way. On the contrary, he's so far above it, he's in control of the mokoyim around him, and not that the mokoyim is in control of him. He's mekadesh the place. It's not the place that can pull him down or elevate him. On the contrary, he's the one who determines the level of holiness of the place that he's in. And this is exactly, precisely, what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here. And on this chapter in Likutei Moran, there's a tefillah in Likutei Halacha, in Likutei Tefillah, it's about a page and a half, where you see Rabbeinu Zal explaining exactly what does Rabbeinu Zal mean here. He means that a person has to ask Hashem, based on this, to be elevated to a level where I'm capable of not being impeded at all, whether I'm in transit, I'm traveling, or at home, I'm in the shul, or in my house. Wherever I am, I should be in a position to serve Hashem at my best. And we see again that the epitome of this, the one who took Rabbeinu Zal's teachings most seriously, and literally, he was the representative of the Likutei Moran coming to life, was Rav Nosson Zal. The best example is this situation of actually being in a prison, the lowest, lowest place with the lowest element of society around him, and there that this fire should be burning, roaring with such power to be able to mechadesh chidushei Torah that would be available to the 1980s and until Mashiach will come. That's the greatness of, that's the Lev HaYisraeli that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here. One more short item that I want to append to this chapter on Likutei Moran specifically, it's brought in the introduction to one of the volumes of Likutei Halachos. It's brought that at one time, Rav Nosson Zal was talking to his students about the heart of Avraham Avinu, about the fact that he was the first Nediv Lev, the Torah calls him a Nediv Lev, that he had a very good heart for Hashem and to help people, etc., etc. And it's brought that when Rav Nosson Zal was giving this shiur, one of his students commented, wow, if only we could have a heart like Avraham Avinu, if only, you know, like, still, you're talking about Avraham Avinu, you know, which is like billions of miles away. And Rav Nosson Zal responded to him angrily, saying, that's not true. You have the same heart that he did. Du beharzt es nicht, meaning you're not exercising it. You're not using it. You're not using it to its full potential. But each and every single Jew has a capacity. Each and every Jew is blessed with this elokus in his heart, this neshama, this toiv, this nekuda toiv that's inside, which if a person really wants to bring it out to its fullest, to its greatness, a person could see that they are capable, within our level, of rising to this type of stature that Rabbeinu Zal is discussing here.
If makom is not, if a person can rise above makom, then why does Rabbeinu Zal stress that a person should have a private room for Torah and Tefillah? If you can learn anywhere, what's the...
The answer is, it's not Rabbeinu Zal that's saying that. Even the Gemara, it's the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that say that when a person is davening Shachris, for example, or any tefillah, there is a significance to a concept of a mokoim kavua. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, what's the concept of a mokoim kavua for Torah or tefillah? The answer is, what happens when a person does that is, we know that mokoim is a concept of gashmius. Ruchnius is above the concept of Mokoim, just as we're showing here. Hashem is above the concept of space. When a person is Koivea Mokoim Litfilosai, or for his Torah, what he's doing is he's taking the Gashmius and subjugating it under the Ruchnius. In other words, he's locking up a unit of space and he's locking it up. The padlock that he's putting on it is mitzvah, ruchnius, Torah. So that's considered a tremendous achievement in taking a chunk of gashmius, whether it be a unit of time, 1 hour a day, a specific hour a day, or a special place, and locking that up for kedusha, committing it for holiness. There is a different accomplishment in that, the accomplishment being this concept of forcing, being machnia, the gashmius under the ruchnius. What Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here is a different concept, where the fact remains, you can't deny that every human being cannot be in one place at one time. And the question is, what do you do if you're one of these good Jews who does have a private room for Torah and Tefillah in your own house and everything, and then you're forced to go on a business trip or on some other trip or whatever? Could you be excused for the fact that I'm not in my place? There are certain places that I'm more comfortable in, certain places that I'm less comfortable in, certain places that I can't function religiously. That's what Rabbeinu Zal is addressing here, and saying that if you have a Lev HaYisraeli, no way, man. wherever you are, you rise above the makom, and you make the place. The place doesn't make you, you make the place. That's the point. So it's two different important concepts.
Well, as a person, in fact, could make, let's say, this concept of dira na. So a person, in fact, what Renzel's saying is he could create this perfect atmosphere anywhere.
100%. 100%.
But what makes something a
Lady
Israeli specifically? The
Rachman? Elukus. That's the wording that Rabbein Azal used here. Tzur Levavi. And Rabbein Azal said, Ki ho Elukus he believe. Elukus means heavenliness. How do we define heavenliness? It's 613 commandments. And it's, but you know, that's what it is. It's the Torah. The Torah is this Elukus, which when shined into a person's heart, when a person's learning Torah, and the Torah is not just going into his brain. This is a very, 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 very important point that we've mentioned in the past, and we don't hesitate to reiterate. One of the main distinctions that the Hasidim make, and specifically Breslov Hasidim, Rabbeinu Zal Sforim, were a lot of people who go to yeshivas, and big yeshivas, and they miss the boat, is based on the very significant tefillah of Aleinu, the tefillah which Yehoshua said when he conquered the city of Yericho, the first conquering of a place in Eretz Yisrael, where it says over there, V'yodato hayoyim, V'hashevoiso elevavecho. You will get to know Hashem, to understand Hashem, and you will shine that knowledge into your heart. What does that mean? What is that talking about? Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos that there are two major elements within the body. There's the brain and the heart. The brain represents something that's purely a thinking machine. You know, the brain. It thinks, it thoughts, it creates, it destroys in thought, etc., etc. The heart is the king of all organs of the body, all desires in the body. The ruler of the Gashmius division within the body is the heart. There are many people who drink a lot of Torah, they absorb the Torah, and the Torah goes into the brain, and nobody ever told them that that's not enough. No, they can parrot back to you pages of Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, even Sifrei Musar, but it's all in the brain. They never came to the realization that there's a second step to this procedure called Yira Shemayim. The Gemara says, Imein Chochma Ein Yira, Imein Yira Ein Chochma. There's a second step whereby a person has to be able to have a pipe, a connection between the brain and the heart, and to be able to channel this wisdom, this knowledge that entered into the brain, to channel it into the heart, where it takes on this form of Yira Shemayim, where all of this knowledge, cement and bricks and everything that I acquired in the brain, gets formulated into a serving Hashem machine, into something that really makes the person into a tzaddik, not just a chacham, knowledgeable, but a person that's knowledgeable and capable of using the knowledge to perfect himself, where that knowledge takes control of all desires, of all elements, you know, all of the person's activities, and it manifests itself in every single thing that the person is doing. And this is the Elukus. The Gemara says that Dovor HaMosr Lelev Nemar Boi V'yoresa Melikecha. We find many places in the Torah. The Torah says, make sure you do this mitzvah, V'yoresa Melikecha, and you should be afraid of Hashem, Ani Hashem. The Gemara says, what does it mean when it says that? And why does it only say it in specific places in the Torah? The Gemara says, because when it comes to certain mitzvahs, which are not done outwardly, so people can't really see whether you're doing it or not, what you believe, what you don't believe, etc. It's by those items which are hidden in the heart of the person that the Torah warns, V'yoreisa melekecha. Be afraid of Hashem. Don't just be afraid of people, what they're going to be able to see you doing or not doing. Be afraid of Hashem, who sees inside your heart. So the heart is specifically associated with this concept of Yira Shemayim. You know, that element of serving Hashem. The conversion of knowledge into action. In other words, into defined as a person who's constantly serving Hashem, whereas every move, every use of every organ in his body and everything is a reflection of the Torah knowledge that he absorbed and this wisdom of Kedusha. And this is exactly what Rabbi Nazar is talking about here. This is where you find this distinction, that there could be people who have Hashem in their brain, they have this knowledge, but they still don't have this Lev HaYisraeli that we're talking about here. And the Lev HaYisraeli is totally, especially in a tremendous quantity of tefillah, because tefillah is what helps the person convert this knowledge of Torah into maisa, to bring it to maisa, to convert it into action, where a person's every action should be controlled and determined by the knowledge of Torah that the person has acquired. That's a very, in other words, this sentence in Aleinu is a key yesoid in Rav Nosson Zal's teachings, this V'yodata Hayoim V'ashevoise Lovavecho, that Hashem, I know that there exists a potential of learning and learning and learning and not becoming a better Jew. Why? Because there's a blockage that's created between the brain and the heart. The knowledge goes in there, and yet it's not communicated to the body. It doesn't become functional. It's theoretical, it's not functional. And this is where a person has to beg Hashem, allow me to take it that step further. I should be zeche to this v'yodato hayoin v'hashevoisa elevavecha, to communicate this knowledge to my heart, which is the main organ that controls the whole flow of blood in the body, the ritzonos, the kisufin, everything that's determined by the soton, the Yetzer Tov, and Yetzer Hara, which resides specifically in the heart. So that's a very, very important point here.
Yeah, if a person is in a place or a section where he sees like he can do better at this particular corner or that particular room than the other, isn't like some logical thing is to go where he could do
100%, and the answer is, the reason is because we're not on this level. Could you or I be put into a prison with low lives and be mechadish Torah? We can't even be mechadish Torah in a base medrash. Unfortunately, I'm saying, Rabbeinu Zal's talking here, it depends on the level of the person. Therefore, for people on our level, we are definitely obligated, whenever it's possible, to go to a Beis Medrash, not to sit at home, and not to go to a Beis Medrash or to a shul, etc. In other words, to go to a mokoim of Toiv. No question about it. It's when a person finds themselves in a situation beyond their control, you should know that if you exercise this potential that you have of Lev HaYisraeli, you can actually do away with the Mokoyim. You can lift yourself up above the Mokoyim. Now, what I wanted to mention before is Al-Pi Kabbalah. What are we talking about here? The term Mokoyim represents the seven lower spheroids. In the 10 qualities of Hashem, the 10 attributes of Hashem, the term Mokoyim refers to the seven lower spheroids, because they refer to the Shivas Yimei HaBinyan. In other words, they refer to the physical domain, the physical world, the 7 days of the week which Hashem used to create the world, etc., etc. At which point do we leave Mokoyim? Do we go above Mokoyim into Ruchni? What's the first sphera above the seven lower ones? Bina. Bina, Ubo Halev Maven, which is the heart. The heart is Bina. Ulevavoi Yovin Vishav V'Rafalei. There are many, many psukim to prove that the heart is Bina. Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos again that this is the point Rabbeinu Zal zeroing in here. That because the heart represents Bina, you understand Al-Pi Kabbalah how this represents something that's above the scope of Mokoyim. If the heart is a spiritual heart, if the heart is a heart that's full of elikus, automatically by nature, the definition that has been given to heart is it's above these seven lower spheroids, which represent mokoyim. The concept of atispal el chano al Hashem. What is al Hashem? Al Hashem is bina. Chano is the shem sug. Ches nun hei is sug, which is bina. And this al Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei there, represents the seven lower spheroids, Zeranpin. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Mokoyim, because the Tikkun Ezer says the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Bigimatria Mokoyim. When you square each one of the letters, Yud square plus He square plus Vav square plus He square, is exactly 186, which is Mokoim. So that Yud Kei Vov Kei represents Mokoim. It represents Zerampin, the seven lower spheroes. Vatis Palel Chano Al Hashem. She went above Mokoim. It was a tefillah from her heart. Note the pasuk there emphasizes her lips were moving, no sound was coming out. The whole limud of Shivchi Kamayim Libech Mechach Pnei Hashem came from her at that time, because she was exercising this elokus shebalev, which took her totally above the concept of Mokoim, totally above the concept of Teva. Just like with Avram Avinu, when he saw through the stars, the power of the stars, that he wasn't destined to have any children, and Hashem lifted him above. You're a Yid. You have this Lev HaYisraeli, where there's no way in the world you're confined within Mokoim, within Teva, within the stars. You're way above it. Period. Baruch Hashem. Okay, let's see if we can do the next chapter. Torah Nun Zayin, because it's very interesting. This next chapter corresponds to the Parsha of the week, Parshas Yisroi, as you'll see soon, and it corresponds to just the subject we discussed this morning in the Shabbos Shir related to Parshas Yisroi, based on a Gemara in Zvachin. Rabbi Nezal says, Da, you should know, Kishetzadik Godoel Amiti Megale Torah, when a truly great tzaddik reveals Torah, chidushim nifloim v'noiroim, and he reveals wondrous, awesome, new revelations in Torah, chutoivo lahaktanim b'mayla, it's also of benefit to those that are on a lower level, rabbis. Why? She'al yidei zeh nisgadel hakoton b'mayla. Through the Tzaddik Godol, through the Tzaddik Amiti, revealing his super chidushim of Torah, what happens is, a rabbi on a lower level is also elevated, shehakoil rotzim uboim elov, to the extent that all people come running to this rabbi on a lower level. We're going to see what that means. Rabbi Nezal first is going to give a mushal based on a certain story that took place during the history of the Jews, and he's going to use that as an analogy to bring out the point that he wants to bring out. V'gam b'hasitra achra. So too, within the realm of Tumah, we also find a comparable concept. Nisgadel echod al yidei zeh. There was an individual who got elevated through something like this, where there was a situation that someone was revealing fantastic chidushim in Torah, and as a result, some other guy, a goy in fact, was elevated in the process. What's the story? K'moy shemotzinu, as the Gemara tells us in Zvochim, Dav Kufte Zayin, the Bilam, about Bilam Horosho, Kishenos an Hashem Yisporach es HaTorah LeYisrael, at the time that Hashem revealed himself on Har Sinai to the Jews, and he gave the Jews the Aseres HaDibrois, the Gemara says, the sound of the voice of Hashem traveled from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So the Gemara says the Goyim didn't know what was going on. They figured this must be some heavy rock concert where the sound is going, there's no speakers around whatsoever, and the sound is going literally from one end of the world to the other. So the Gemara says, Bo kol ha'umais le'bilam. All the nations of the world gathered to Bilam Harosha. They sent representatives to this Bilam Harosha and to ask him, what's happening? What's going on here? And we'll turn just for a moment to this Gemara in Zvochim just to mention the exact point of the Gemara. This is based on this week's Parsha, where the Gemara says in Zvochim, Dav Kufte Zayin, the Gemara says, Vayishma Yisroi. The Gemara says, on the Pasuk Vayishma Yisroi, Yisroi heard, Kohen Midyan, Yisroi, the Pope of Midyan, heard. The Gemara asks, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo, what exactly did Yisroi hear that made him come close to the Jewish nation? The Gemara says there's a Vinizgayer, and he actually converted. There's a Machlokes Tanoim. One rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua, says, Milchemes Amolek Shoma. He heard about the war with Amolek, because we see that the preceding paragraph in the Chumash is the incident of Amolek coming to attack the Jews, and they beat him, and then right afterwards it says, Vayishma Yisrael, and he came and converted. Another rabbi says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Hamoidoi Yoimeh, Rabbi Elazar Hamoidoi says, Matan Torah Shoma Ubo, that Yisroi heard Matan Torah. I, the Kasha, that the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, appears in the Torah after Yisrael is coming. We know Ein Mukdam U'Muchar BaTorah. There's no sequence in certain instances in the Torah. And this Gemara begins with a discussion between the rabbis as to which point in time Yisrael came to join the Jewish nation. Was it before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? This is all this week's discussion. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Maidoi says, Kishenitna Torah LeYisrael, at the time that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, Hayakoylo Yehoylech Misayf Hoylam Vat Saifoy. Hashem's voice traveled from one end of the world to the other, the chol malchei oivdei koychovim achazoson ra'odo behecholayim. All the kings and all the leaders of all the goyim throughout the world became petrified. They started trembling in their palaces, in their own countries, in Uganda and in this place and in that place. Va'omru shira, and they actually said shira shenemar, as the pasuk says, uvehecholoi kuloi oimer kavoi, that in the hechol, in the Hecholim of all of these kings, they all sang about the greatness, the glory of the King of Kings, about Hashem. The Gemara continues, Niskaptsu kulam eitzel Bilam harasha, and they all gathered by Bilam harasha, v'yamruloi, and they said to him, Ma koil hehomoin asher shomanu, what is this crashing sound that we're hearing now? Shemo mabul bola oilam? Could it be possible that Hashem is planning on redoing that flood situation, you know, where the whole world gets flooded with boiling water again? And could it be that that's this thunderous rumble that we're hearing? So Bilam said to them, no, can't be, because the pasuk says, Hashem lamabul yoshov. Ah, in other words, I'm sorry, they said, as the pasuk says, Hashem lamabul yoshov, that Hashem will return with a flood. So Omar Lohem, Bilam said to them, no, because the pasuk says over there, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Li'olam. Hashem, after that first flood, Hashem established himself as king over the whole world, meaning never again will he wipe out the whole world. That was the first and last time that the world was erased, you know, period. It's not going to be done again. Kvar nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has already sworn she'enoy mevi mabul oilam, that he's not going to bring a flood to the world. Amruloi, so they said to him, haha, mabul shel mayim enoy mevi, avul mabul shel eish mevi. Maybe a flood of water he's not going to bring anymore, but maybe a flood of fire he will. As the pasuk says, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki bo'esh Hashem nishbot, Hashem will judge in fire. Maybe that's what's about to happen. Omar Lohen, so Bilam said to them, no, Kvar Nishba, Hashem has already sworn, She'enoi Mashchis Kol Bosor, that he will not destroy mankind again, period. Oma Koil Hehomoin Azeh Shishomanu, so therefore they said again, then what is this fantastic sound, these beautiful sound effects that we're hearing? Omar Lohem, Bilam said to them, Chemdo Toivo Yeshloi Beveis Genozov. Hashem has a fantastic treasure that was hidden away in his treasure chests for years. Shoyse Genuza Etzloi Tat Kufayin Dalet Doirois, which was hidden in Hashem's treasury for a period of 974 generations, Koidim Shinivroilam, before the world was created, because the Torah was not given until 26 generations after the world was created. From Odom HaRishon till Moshe Rabbeinu was exactly 26 generations. And we know the pasuk says, Dovor Tzivol Elev Doer, that the Torah was created 2,000 generations before it was given. That means 26 plus X equals 2,000. It means X is 974 generations before the world was created, is when the Torah was first created. Ubikesh litno levonov. And Hashem now wants to transmit this beautiful treasure to his children. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem oiz la'amo yitein. Hashem is going to give power to his children, to his nation, meaning that the Torah will be presented with a smash, with sound effects, with oiz. The Gemara says, Miat poschu kulam v'yamru Hashem yivorech esamoy v'sholoim. At that point, all the nations of the Goyim declared, Hashem yivorech esamoy v'sholoim. Hashem bless his nation with peace. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kriyas Yamsuf Shoma. This is the location in Shas where we have the whole discussion that's brought in Rashi, in the first Rashi in Parshas Yisroi, as to exactly what Yisroi heard and he came. What do we see from this? So according to Rabbi Elazar HaMoidoi, at the time that Hashem was revealing the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, here Hashem was revealing these Chidushim Nifloim V'Noiroim, and as a result, all the nations of the world went and gathered to Bilam to ask him a question, and he gave them a shear. Bilam actually gave the Goyim a shear, as we see here in the Gemara in Zvachim. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Nimtza, we see from this Gemara in Zvachim, She'al Yidei Nesinas HaTorah LeYisrael, that through the act of Hashem giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, Nizgadel Bilam. Bilam became heightened as a result. Ubo elav kol ha'ilam, and the whole world gathered to him. Vehu omad atzmoy al eze posuk, and he gave a shir on a posuk in Torah. He began to discuss this posuk. Hashem lamabul yoshev, vayeshu Hashem al chidelam. He gave a whole shir based on a posuk in the Torah. The omar lehem Torah, and Bilam said Torah to the goyim at the time. Ki oz ki shebo elav, because then when they came to him, shalu so they asked him mashishalu, the question that they asked, which appears in the Gemara there. Their question was Hashem lamabul yoshev. It says Hashem lamabul yoshev. Is that what's about to happen? That we're going to get a flood? Vehu Omad al pasuk, and he stationed himself in this pasuk. Veheshivohem, and he gave them a teretz. Hashem oiz lamayite, and he gave them a whole shir that we just quoted. Rabbeinu Zal says, so to lahavdol, that's by goyim, that's by the sitra achra. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'chein b'Yisrael batzmon, so too within the Jewish nation, sheheim b'kedusha, that the Jewish nation are all holy. Ve'enom boim chas v'shalom le'bilam u'kiyotze boi, chas v'shalom, to say that the Yidden would go to a Bilam Harosha and ask him for a shir, no way. Ach, however, Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that kishahatzadik godol amiti megala chidushim, that when a truly great tzaddik is revealing revelations in Torah, v'naase rash godol, and as a result of these super revelations that he's revealing, there's tremendous thunder and noise that's going on in the world. The excitement based on the revelations of Torah that this true tzaddik is revealing, sheze megale chidushim leiroim ko'elu, that a human being is revealing such fantastic chidushim, azai kulam miskaptzim uboim leize koton b'mayla, simultaneously a multitude of Jews gather together by some smaller rabbis, some small-level guy, v'ne'esofim etzloi, they gather to him, l'shmoya mimenu, to listen to his Torah. Machmas chorash shenase al yidei hachidushim shemegala atzadik godoyo. Why is this happening? They don't even know why they're going to a shir. What prompted them to want to go to a shir? They don't realize it's the fact that their neshama is sensing that there's this rash, this turmoil in the world that's leading them to want to run to find out what's going on. They make the mistake of going to this Kotan Lamala and asking him what's going on, and not zeroing in on where the action is actually happening, where the rash is being generated from. Zehu oimed atzmoy al eze posuk, and this koton b'malo, this lower level rabbi, picks a posuk in Torah, the oimer lehem ma shoimer, and he tells them what he tells them, meaning that these people get the short end of the stick in a sense. In other words, they are misled, and they walk away satisfied, as if their turmoil was resolved. Just like these goyim, picture what yo-yos these guys looked like. Hashem was giving a shir, and they all gather together to this Sovo Kadisha, Rachmona Litzlan, to this yo-yo called Bilam Harosha, and they went to ask him a shaila, and he gave them a shir. He gave them a whole shir at the same time that Hashem was giving his shir. Yo-yos, if you're running for a shir, why didn't they run to Hashem? The answer is, it's not so easy. That takes a tremendous zechiah to be from those that get to hear the real shir, to be where the real action is at, where this rash is being generated from. Rabbeinu Zal says, just as we have this example in the Gemara being presented from the Sitra Achra Lahavdol, So too, Lahavdil, within Klal Yisrael, we have a similar situation taking place, that at the same time that a tzaddik emes is revealing super chidushim, there's a rash that's generated from it. As a result, people are aroused and awaken, and they feel, the neshama feels drawn to want to go ask questions about religion. They go into some guy, and they start asking him questions, and he gives them an answer. And this is what takes place in the world at the time that a tzaddik godol amiti is megala chidushim neflon v'nairoim in Torah. Baruch Hashem.
By Mountain Torah is like very evident how the rash was, like everyone would have physically heard.
Correct.
How, you know, in case of Israel, gives a tzaddik is chidushim, how is their rash generated?
Afal gaf de'ihu loichozi maslichozi. The Gemara says that when a tzaddik reveals chidushim in Torah, it's exactly, we mentioned many times, that when the Torah was given on Har Sinai, it was given mipi gvura. The Gemara says, Anoichi v'lai lecha mipi gvura nemra. The Sufrei Kabbalah bring that the word Moshe is bigimatria mipi gvura, and the word midrabbonon is bigimatria mipi gvura. So that there exists a potential by Moshe Rabbeinu, and by the leading tzaddikim in every single generation to teach Torah to their Talmidim on the level of Mipi Gvura Nemra. That it should be like a reenactment of Matan Torah and Har Sinai. When Rav Shmuel Yochai Zal taught his Talmidim the Seudas of the Zohar HaKadosh, this was Matan Torah being reenacted. There was a rash. Could be sometimes the rash is heard physically. Sometimes afal gafti ihu lechazi masli chazi. It's not a physical sound, but the neshama senses that something big is going on, and the person runs to a gymnasium or to an auditorium or to a shul or somewhere to find out, to get some answer as to what's going on, and they don't realize that this is actually what's taking place.
So what should they do?
Obviously, a person based on this, you're being told that there's two groups of people. There's the group that get to be by the tzaddik gotl amiti who's revealing the chidushei Torah. There's another group that goes to a koton b'mayla and they ask some question, they get some answer. Person has to decide where he wants to be, and he has to beg Hashem. I see that there's a potential of being in one of two places. Help me be zeichet to find myself by the tzaddik gotl amiti, not to be misled. I'll run to a place, I'll ask a question, they'll give me an answer, and I won't know that I'm at the wrong address. That there's a potential of going to a much, much higher place where I can get the real thing, that concept of the real thing.